and that's 9b in Brachos. The Gemara discusses the number of paragraphs that there are in Tehillim. In passing, it mentions that what we call Mizmor 104, Psalm number 104, was really the 103rd Psalm. And the reason for that was because the first two Psalms were counted as a single one, making everything one number less. The Gemara cites Rabbi Yehuda Breda of Shimon ben Pazi, who says that David HaMelech didn't say Hallelujah, until after 103 Psalms, 103 chapters of Tehillim. It was only then, when he saw the downfall of the wicked, that he exclaimed, Yitamu chatoa min ha'aretz v'yashom odinam, may the sinners cease to exist in the world, and the wicked no longer be. Baruch inafshis Hashem haleluka. My soul blesses Hashem haleluka. Says that David HaMelech praised Hashem for removing the wicked, the evil people from the world. And that Yudam Ra'alas, the Gemara continues along this theme and mentions that there are five times that David HaMelech said that Shira Baruch Inashi, and he said one of the times was when he saw the downfall of the wicked, Yitamach Hashem and Arz Hashem Odenam, Baruch Inashi Hashem Halleluka. Again, he praised Hashem, sang to Hashem, said Shira, and ended with Halleluka. It is clear from the Gemara that David HaMelech rejoiced at the downfall and destruction of the wicked people. This Gemara would seem to contradict other midrashim, which emphasize that Hashem is not happy. A person shouldn't rejoice even when the wicked are punished. The Marsha over here on the Testament Beis quotes a Yalkut Shimoni, which is in Chelek Beis, number 960, Tasaf Kostamas towards the end. The Yalkut is well known because it's cited by the Poskim in Halacha. The Yalkut tells us that the reason why we do not say Hallel 7 days on Pesach, as we do on every day of Sukkot, we say the entire Hallel. On Pesach we don't say a full Hallel 7 days, only on the first day. The last days we don't say Hallel. And the reason, it says, is because on the last day of Pesach, Kriyas Yom Suf occurred, the splitting of the Red Sea. And on that day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Bnei Yisrael by splitting for them the Yom Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also closed the sea over the Egyptians, destroying the entire nation that was chasing after the Jews. Because the Egyptians were destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Maisei Yodai Toivim B'Yam V'Atem Omrim Shira. It's a time of sadness, it's a time when there is destruction, and therefore it's not appropriate to sing and say Hallel to Hashem. That's the reason we don't say Hallel on the last day of Pesach. And Chol HaMoed, we don't say Hallel, meaning the in-between days between the first day and the last day, because those days shouldn't have a higher level of Simcha than the last day, since the last day is a Yom Tov, and those days are only Chol HaMoed. In any case, there is such a medrash, and that's why we don't say Hallel on the last day of Pesach. We actually do say Hallel, but we say only a half Hallel. We skip certain paragraphs of Hallel in order to show that we're not really saying the entire Hallel as we normally do. The Medrash says again that the reason why is because the Mitzrayim were being destroyed. It seems from there that we should not rejoice at the destruction of the wicked, because when the Mitzrayim were destroyed, we are told not to say Hallel. Why then do we find that David HaMelech did rejoice at the destruction of the wicked? this is the basic question which the Maharsha asks and is discussed by a number of different Zachronim over here and elsewhere, and which, as we will see, involves numerous sugyos in the Midrashim and in the Gemaras in order to work out when exactly is the right time for a person to rejoice. To try to answer this question, let us first turn to a sugya in Megillah discussing Purim, another appropriate subject for this season, and we will see that the Gemara in Megillah does shed some light on this subject as to whether a person should rejoice or should not rejoice when he sees the wicked being destroyed. The Gemara is in Megillah, Daf Yudim and Aleph, and Yudim and Beis, 10b, and it tells us the following. The Gemara discusses ways that different Amoraim began to discuss the Midrashim on Megillas Esther. As an introduction to the talks on Megillas Esther, it starts with a certain pasuk and expands upon it. It says, with Yeshua ben Levi, pasuk lo piskul lahai pashas amehacha. When he discussed Megillas Esther, he would start off saying, v'hoya, a pasuk in Dvarim, in the Tosukha, v'hoya kasha, sos Hashem aleichem, le'itivetchem. Just as Hashem once rejoiced to do good to you, when Bnei Yisrael did mitzvot, Hashem rejoiced to give them reward. Ken yosif l'hara l'eschem. So will Hashem rejoice to punish you when the time comes to punish you because of your sins. This is what the Torah tells us in the verses discussing the rebuke that Hashem gives to Klal Yisrael, to Israel. It says in the verse that Hashem rejoices to punish Bnei Yisrael when they sin. The Gemara asks, Mi Chodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mapalosim Shel Rasha'im, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoice when the wicked are destroyed. Is that true? V'hoksiv, but don't we find in the verse V'tzeitlus Ne'achalot V'ayimim Hoidu La'Hashem Ki La'olam Chasto. Yehoshaphat was going to war against Aram. The Navi already, the prophet already prophesied that the war will be won. In order to celebrate, the Jews walked in front of the Aron and sang in front of the army and sang, Hodu Hashem Kilonu Chasto, praise be Hashem, because His good is everlasting. The verse, normally as stated in Tanakh, in 5-6 places, the verse is, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kilonu Chasto, praise be Hashem, because it is good before Him to sing His praise. Kilonu Chasto, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. Sing before Hashem Kitov, because it is good in the eyes of Hashem. Kil Olam Chasto, because His good is His kindness is everlasting. In this one place in Tanakh, the words Kitov are left out. V'amar of Yechanan, the Gemara says, Mitnei ma lo ne'mar Kitov b'hodazu. Why were the words Kitov left out over here from this song of praise? L'fisha ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach b'mapalos Shel Rasha'im. Because Hashem is not happy when the wicked are punished. Here we see that the Torah teaches a person should not be happy, should not rejoice when the wicked are being punished. Says Hashem is not happy. This is a contradiction not only to the Gemara that we started with in Brachas, which tells us that David HaMelech said, Yitamu chatoa min ha'aretz baruch inafshi es Hashem haleluka. When Hashem destroys the wicked, my soul rejoices and says haleluka to Hashem. It's also a contradiction to what the Gemara brings from the Tochacha. It's a contradiction to the Psukim in the Tochacha and the rebuke, which say that Hashem will rejoice to punish you when you sin. The Gemara brings another proof that Hashem does not rejoice when the wicked are punished. V'amar Rav Yechanan, my diksiv v'lo korav zeh zeh kol ha'layla. What does it mean when the verse says, when the before the sea was split, was the night during which the sea was split, that they didn't approach each other all night, The simple meaning of the verse is the Egyptians didn't approach the Jews. But the Gemara says, Bikshu Malachi Asharet Lo Mashira. The Malachi Asharet, the angels, a heavenly host, wanted to say Shira. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ifa Yodai Toivim Bayam Ba'atem Oymrim Shira. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut up the angels and told them, this is not the time to sing the songs of joy, because my creations are drowning in the sea. Who are those creations? The Egyptians, who are running after the Jews and trying to destroy them. Those are the creations that are drowning in the sea, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's not a time to rejoice, not a time for the angels to sing the praise of Hashem. If so, Hashem isn't rejoicing. How could it be that Hashem rejoices when he destroys, when he punishes the Jews because of their sins, as the verse says in the rebuke? This is what the Gemara asks in Megillah. The Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Elazar, who ain't osos? It is true that Hashem does not rejoice when he punishes for the wicked. Aval acherim meisis. But Hashem causes others to rejoice. The Dekanami, it's even noted in the verse itself, Dixiv Kain Yosis, because the verse doesn't say, Reveloksiv Yosus. The verse does not use the term Ken Yosus Hashem, Hashem will be happy, but rather Ken Yosis Hashem. The word Yosis could mean either will be happy, or it could mean will, or it could mean will make happy. The reason why the verse uses the verse uses the term Ken Yosis is in order to show that Hashem is not rejoicing when he is punishing the Jews for their sins. Rather, he is causing others to rejoice. Just as Hashem rejoiced to give you rewards, so will Hashem cause others to rejoice by punishing you and causing you to fall into the hands of your enemies. The Gemara's conclusion then is that Hashem does not rejoice at the destruction of the wicked or at the punishment of the wicked. Why then did David HaMelech rejoice and say, Baruch Hi Nafshi Es Hashem Halleluka? Hashem silenced the angels who were singing his praise on the night that the Egyptians were drowning. And now when David HaMelech's enemies are punished, David HaMelech is saying, Baruch Hi Nafshi Es Hashem Halleluka? How can that be? So the answer to this is already alluded to in this Gemara, and is discussed more openly in a Gemara in Sanhedrin 39b. The Gemara over there says, Vayavor harina b'machane, v'aved rishon rina. It cites two verses which say, when the wicked are destroyed, it's a time for rejoicing. One is in Mishlei, v'aved rishon rina, at the destruction of the evil, rina, it's a time for rejoicing. The other one is a verse in Melachim Aleph discussing the death of Achav, where it says, Vayavor harina b'machane. And the Darshan and Chazal explained the word harina over here means the rejoicing. And what it's saying is that because Achav died, everyone rejoiced, because the wicked evildoer, the sinner, the one who served idols all his life, had passed away, and therefore it was a time for rejoicing. The Gemara over here again asks, why did the Jews rejoice? Why does the verse tell to rejoice at a time when the evildoers pass away? Don't we find that Hashem did not rejoice even when the Egyptians, who certainly were evildoers, were drowned in the sea? Why then should we say, Vayavar Arena B'machna? And the Gemara answers over there, Acherim Mesis. Just like the Gemara said in Megillah, when the wicked pass away, Hashem causes others to rejoice. It doesn't just mean that Hashem causes others to rejoice, that they happen to rejoice because they don't know that they're supposed to not rejoice. It doesn't mean that when the enemy conquers the punished person, the enemy rejoices because he doesn't know that it's not proper to rejoice when someone falls. No, it means Hashem intends for people to rejoice when the wicked are punished, if the wicked are tormenting them. That's what it means over here. When we find in the verse that Ken Yosef Hashem will make the enemies rejoice by punishing the by punishing the Jews for their sins, it means Hashem will expect the enemies to sing praises to Hashem for freeing them from being controlled by the other nation. And similarly, when Achav passed away and the Jews were free to serve Hashem, it was a time for rejoicing because Acher Nesis, at a time when now I have victory over the evildoer, the evildoer has succumbed, I am able to perform the will of Hashem, I am able to do freely what I want to, I am not subject to another person's will, who is not necessarily following the will of Hashem, the Rishon, Bavoy Rishon Rina, that's the time for rejoicing. We have to sing Hashem's praises then. What we then see is that although Hashem does not rejoice when the evildoer is punished, He does intend for the person who was spared from those evildoers to rejoice. And that was why David HaMelech then said, Baruch Hinashi Es Hashem Halleluka, when he saw the evildoers who were chasing him, were tormenting him. For a good part of his life he was tormented by evildoers. When he saw them succumb, when he saw that Hashem destroyed them from the world, he tamuch atom min ha'aretz, that was the time when David HaMelech said Shira, Baruch Hinashi Es Hashem, and said Halleluka. This is the answer then to our question on the Gemara in Brachos. Why was it that David HaMelech rejoiced? He was rejoicing because he was spared from the clutches of the evildoers. What we have explained was the mechanics of how it works. One rejoices, Hashem does not rejoice, but he does expect the person who was tortured to rejoice. The logic behind it is rather obvious, as the commentaries explain. Hashem does not rejoice, because the verse says, Ki lo echpos tamoyis hameis, ki even meshuvu v'darka v'choya. Hashem does not want a person to die. Hashem wants a person to repent, and then to have his place in this world and in the world to come. If a person is punished and is taken away from the world because of his evil actions, it's a sad time. It's a time that Hashem did not see the creation come to its fruition. Hashem wants every member of the mankind that He created to reach its fruition, to reach its highest
potential.
If He doesn't, then Hashem is not happy. Hashem does not rejoice. That is why Hashem did not rejoice when even Achav was destroyed, when the Egyptians were destroyed. They could have reached their potential, but they didn't. They had to be destroyed. Okay, they had to be punished. That's also part of the world. That's what Hashem gave us. Hashem gave us free choice. If we choose to use our free choice the wrong way, and Hashem has to punish us, okay, it has to be done. But that's still not the best way the world could have been. On the other hand, the person who was spared from the clutches of the evildoer, that person certainly has to thank Hashem and has to say Shira, because it was for his benefit that Hashem punished the wicked and took the wicked out of the world in order that he should be spared, in order that he should learn from that and he should see from that the hand of Hashem when the evildoers are punished. And many times we see the hand of Hashem in how the evildoer is conquered and his power is suddenly taken away. That's certainly something to say Shira over, seeing the greatness of Hashem and being able to properly serve Hashem. That is something to sing praises of Hashem for. So that explains the logic behind the Gemara's dichotomy. The person who is spirit should rejoice. However, Hashem is not rejoicing. Okay, it seems relatively simple so far, but there may be another answer to the question that we raised in the beginning, which was, why is it that David HaMelech rejoiced when the evildoers were punished? There may be another answer to that question, which opens up an entirely new perspective into the question of to rejoice or not to rejoice. And to open up that, to see where that new perspective enters, we should see a Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a medrash which discusses the days which are set aside as days of rejoicing to thank Hashem for various miracles that occurred at the time when Hashem spared us from enemies that tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. It goes through the entire calendar, month by month, and tells us the days where evildoers were punished and which were made into days of rejoicing. It wasn't just, right now, usually the rejoicing is because we were spared. For instance, when the Chashmonaim defeated the Greeks, took over the temple, we're not rejoicing necessarily because the evildoers are punished. However, the Megillah Sinus does spell it out in such terms that we're rejoicing because the evildoers were punished. Kivin Shinishchaivu Golas, it says, discussing over here, the Anshei Beishon and Anshei Pikasa. Anshei Beishon were people who were foreigners, Kutim, I suppose, who came, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, in Beit She'an, and always caused trouble for the Jews. It says, Atem hayu yaseid roha liyisod b'yimei Yevonim, klapei Aravim, in the times of Yevonim, in the times of Aravim. It says they these people always tried to speak out against the Jews and to cause the government at the time to make decrees against the Jews. And it says, Kivin Shinishchai V'Golas, the time came when they were sent out of Eretz Yisrael, Gover Yadim Shal Beit Chashmonoi, the Heglosam, and the Hasmonean kingdom was able to overcome them and send them out of Israel, but also Yom, As Uhu Yantav. Why? Simply because they sent away the Anshei Beit She'an. Shesimcha hi lefnei hamokom. It is a time of rejoicing lefnei hamokom, before Hashem. Shemalchus harasha'a ne'ekra min ha'olam. Because the evildoer's kingdom has been uprooted. Shenemer v'olam oshim ha'atziyon, l'shpodot ha'aretav, etc. It says, and v'ayme yitamu chata'a min ha'aretz, b'achin ashes Hashem ha'aluka. It says the rejoicing of David HaMelech wasn't just the rejoicing because David HaMelech was speared, as we understood until now. It wasn't just that David HaMelech was thankful that he was speared from the evildoers' clutches, but rather, it says, Simcha hi lefnei hamakom. It's a time of rejoicing before Hashem when the evildoer is punished and is conquered. This seems to contradict what we have understood until now, which was that Hashem does not rejoice, but the person who is speared has to praise Hashem for seeing the hand of Hashem and for being speared. Medrash, the Medrash, and Megillas Tainus says this again in the 9th parak. It talks about this. It says also at length that at a time when the evildoers are punished, it's the time of Simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, why is it that it should be a time of Simcha Lefnei HaMakom, time of Simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the evildoers are punished? As the Gemara seems to say, it's not a time of Simcha before Kodesh Baruch Hu, at the time when Yehoshaphat was winning a war against the Goyim, when the Egyptians were being punished by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the sea covering them. So, to answer this, I'd like to refer to a Medrash HaZohar, a Kabbalistic Medrash, that actually asks this very question and discusses this in length. The Medrash says that there is no joy before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that could compare it to the joy of the destruction of the evildoers. And that's what it says. And again, it brings the Pasuk Yitamu Chatzam Min Ha'aretz and V'Avaydu Sha'amrina. So then the Medrash, the Zohar itself asks, this is the Zohar in Shmos, page 61b, so the Zohar asks, isn't the opposite true? That when the Bnei Yisrael were saved by Kriyas Yam Suf and the Egyptians were destroyed, there's no joy before Hashem when He punishes the wicked? And the Zohar answers the following. It says, it depends. Sometimes it's a time to rejoice. Sometimes it's not a time to rejoice. If Hashem is destroying the wicked, is punishing the evildoers before their time has come, then it's not a time for rejoicing. But if nismalesa asam, if it is a time when they have sinned and have earned their demise, when they have reached the limit of Hashem's patience, then it is a time of joy when the wicked are destroyed. That's what the Zohar says. There's rejoicing when the wicked have reached the limit, and there's no rejoicing when the wicked are punished before they have reached their limit. What does this mean? What does it mean that the wicked are punished sometimes prematurely? How could the wicked be punished prematurely? And why would Hashem punish them before the time has come to be punished? And the cases that the Zohar brings as examples of this are the Egyptians being drowned in the sea, and the armies of Moab that were being conquered by Yehoshaphat, which the Gemara brought in Megillah. Why was it that these nations were being punished before their time has come? So the answer to that seems to be as follows. Normally Hashem would wait until the evildoer has sinned as much as has reached its limit, the limit of Hashem's patience, meaning that Hashem sees that it's impossible for them to ever do tshuva. Hashem has given them enough time to do tshuva. They're not taking advantage. It is clear to everybody that they're not going to repent. In such a case, that's normally the time when Hashem destroys the nation. But there are times when Hashem destroys the nation before that time comes in order to spare another nation. Sometimes it's Uman nitches mitnei Uma. What happened in the case of Kriyas Yam Suf was that Bnei Yisrael were being chased by the Egyptians. Had Hashem not drowned the Egyptians, then they would have continued to chase the Jews and try to harm them. Hashem stopped the Egyptians in order to spare the Jews. In this case, the need for their destruction was not because they had used up every opportunity to repent, but rather because there's a certain dechifut, a certain urgency. Hashem wants to protect the Jews, and these people are trying to harm them. In order to save the Jews, Hashem has to destroy the Egyptians. So that is why the Egyptians were destroyed. Similarly, when the Moabites were making the war against the Jews, and Yehoshaphat was the army of Yehoshaphat was going to war against them, Hashem promised Yehoshaphat that the Jews would be speared, and the enemy would be destroyed, in order to spare the Jews. In such a case, when the enemy is being destroyed in order to spare the Jews, then it's not a time for Hashem to rejoice. Whereas, if a nation has sinned until they sinned their full, and Hashem gave them all the chances to repent that they could have had, and they didn't repent, then it's a time of rejoicing when Hashem destroys them. And the rejoicing is not just the people who are speared, the rejoicing is even a rejoicing in heaven. This is, again, the mechanics of when there's a time of rejoicing even in heaven at the destruction of the Rishon. To understand the logic behind it, the explanation would seem to be as follows. Hashem does not rejoice when the wicked are destroyed, as we said, because Hashem would prefer that the wicked would repent. However, Hashem gave man free choice, and if man misuses his free choice, so then this is the order of the world. The person will be punished, will be destroyed, will be taken away. In such a case, when a person is taken away because he used his free choice to sin, so then it could be a time of rejoicing in front of Hashem because the world is reaching its potential by having this person or people being destroyed. When the people are destroyed because of their sins, then that is also a lesson to the world showing that the evildoers will be punished. And it is the logical conclusion for what is supposed to happen to the nation, for the way that the world is supposed to play itself out. However, when Hashem spares the nation in order to spares the Jews and thereby causes the destruction of another nation, then there's sadness before Hashem. Why? Because on the one hand, it's true that the Jews are spared, and in order to spare them, Hashem had to destroy the Egyptians at the time the Red Sea was split. On the other hand, the Egyptians perhaps would have repented had they been given more time. It was only the urgency of sparing the Jews that caused the Egyptians to have to be destroyed at this particular time. In such a case, the world, the din, the mishpat, the just proper justice hasn't played itself out, in a sense, because in order to spare the Jews, the Egyptians had to be given this compromised justice, meaning that they had to be destroyed because of their sins, of course, before they were given the full time to repent. Because of that, there is some measure of of sadness, some measure of lack of joy in heaven. And that is why at the time the Egyptians were destroyed, Hashem said that the Malachim should not sing Shira. It's true that the Jews are being speared. And the Jews can sing, because we said, Acher Mesis. Jews are supposed to sing to Hashem and say Az Yashem and thank Hashem. However, the angels are not supposed to sing to Hashem, because it's a time that in heaven there is no rejoicing. However, at a time that evildoers are destroyed after being given proper chance to repent, then even in heaven there is rejoicing. It's a time that there is Simcha Lefnei HaMakom, even before Hashem. This is the second answer for our Gemara. Again, our Gemara said that David HaMelech praised Hashem and sang the praises of Hashem when he thought about the destruction of the evildoers. Why should he thank Hashem and sing praises to Hashem about the destruction of the evildoers if it's a sad moment, if it's a sad happening, when it's a sad circumstance when evildoers are destroyed? The answer is, first of all, others should sing the praises of Hashem, meaning the people who are speared could thank Hashem. Matthew Tamuch HaTam in Ha'aretz, they're referring to the people who are oppressing David. But even deeper than that, there's a second explanation, as we've seen from the Zohar, which is that at a time that the evildoer has sinned and been given enough time to repent and still didn't want to repent, then, Baruch Hinashias Hashem, then there is true Simcha in Shemayim when the evildoer is destroyed for his sins and the world is taught the lesson and will no longer be influenced by the evil actions of the evildoer, and the people will not learn from him. Then there is Simcha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in teaching the world the right way. And there is no more sadness left. So the person hasn't used his potential and hasn't followed the ways of Hashem, so then he deserves what was coming to him. That is the second way of explaining the Yitam Chatam in Ha'aretz Yisham Ezanam Baruch Hinashias Hashem Avaluka, the praise that Hashem, that David HaMelech gave to Hashem when he thought about the destruction of their Shem. There's one more point left which I'd like to bring out, which is that there seems to be an exception to this rule, meaning even though there is Simcha in front of Hashem when the evildoers are destroyed, it's not always so. Even if the evildoer is given as much time to repent as could possibly be and was destroyed because of his sins, sometimes it's true that Hashem will not rejoice, and it is not a time for rejoicing. And we find this in a Medrash that I'll quote to you from Bamidbar Rabbah. It says, "Va'avid Hashem Rina." The Medrash Mishle, and then the Yaakov Shemoni, which we quoted earlier, Chelik Beis, number 960, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noah that he should be sad while he was in the Teva. He should feel like an oval to a certain extent. Why? Because Benfol Ayivcha Al Tisma. Another Pasuk of Mishnah that says, when your enemy falls, do not rejoice. Benfol Ayivcha Al Tisma. Do not rejoice at the fall of your enemy. Another Bamidbar Rabbah brings Machlekes among the Tanom of whether Hashem was saddened during the flood or not, or whether he rejoiced at the time of the flood. To rejoice at the time of the flood makes sense. The people who sinned during the time of the great flood were given 120 years to repent. So Noah built the Teva, and during all that time he rebuked the people who were sinning. They didn't repent, so Hashem brought the Mabul, the great flood. If they were given enough time to repent and they didn't, there should be joy in heaven when they're destroyed. What is the explanation for the Medrash that says there was not joy in heaven when the evildoers at the time of the Mabul were destroyed? And what is the explanation for the Medrash that says, "Binfola Yivcha Al Tismach"? Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Downfall of the enemy. How do we understand that? So, to understand this, I would like to quote the end of the Zohar, which says, the Zohar was the one that said that Hashem rejoices when the evildoers are given enough time to sin and they're finally destroyed. And the Zohar says that there's one exception to this. The exception to this rule of Hashem's rejoicing, the exception in which Hashem does not rejoice, is when the Jews anger Hashem and they brought about the destruction of the temple. Hashem was sad then. There's no joy before Hashem. This is actually an obvious point. We find the entire Eichas built on that premise, and there's numerous midrashim that talk about Lov Tshuv Shamayim Kadros, about how heaven itself was sad and was mourning when the Jews were punished by the destruction of the temple. It's clear in many places that Hashem does not rejoice when the Jews are being destroyed. This is the case, in fact, in the case of the Tochacha, when it says, Ken Yosef, that Hashem will make others happy, but Hashem will not rejoice himself when he punishes the Jews for their sins. Hashem does not rejoice when the Jews are punished. In Fala Yivcha Altitmach applies over there. What is the rule, then? The rule seems to be, when the Jews are being punished as a nation, it's not just a single sinner, but rather it's a nation, or Malchus Yehuda, the leaders of a nation, that sin, when they're being punished, then even though Hashem gave them all the chances in the world to repent, and they did not take advantage, there is some sadness in heaven. And the sadness is because the world does have a master plan. There is a direction that the world takes, and that is to eventually bring about the revelation of Hashem's glory to all the nations, let the entire world realize that when the time comes, that there is a Creator, that He created them, He gave them the entire world. The world is set up as such that it is proceeding throughout history towards that conclusion, towards a conclusion where everyone in the world will be shown Hashem Hu Elokim. And the ones that will bring that about are the Jewish nation. This is our mission as a whole, to bring about the recognition of Hashem's Malchus, Hashem's kingdom in the world. That's this is what all the prophecies about the future tell us, and what the Torah tells us in many places about the mission of the Jews. If so, if the Jewish nation seems to be slipping and not practicing its mission, not trying to bring about the accomplishment of that goal, then there is sadness in heaven, because it's not just a sinner who's being punished and who's taken away from the world in order that others should not learn to sin. But over here, this is the nation that He has set aside to teach the world His glory, and this nation is now being punished because they've been led astray. This nation can't be totally destroyed. It's not going to be taken away. It has to be a temporary punishment in order to teach them to repent and to return to the ways of Hashem. In this case, when the Bnei Yisrael are being punished, Hashem is sad. Hashem is certainly sad. There's sadness in heaven because the nation, His chosen nation, has strayed and has to be brought back to the ways of serving Hashem. So when Jews are being punished as a nation for their sins, then we say, Benfola Yivcha Al Tismach. Then we say that that there's sadness in heaven. What does this have to do with the great flood? Why was Hashem sad at the time the nations of the world were destroyed by the great flood? Well, it could be that was before the Jews were chosen as a nation. There was no Avraham Avinu yet. There's no Avos, no Imahos. Before the Jews were chosen as a nation, then It was still possible that all the other nations of the world could have brought about this goal, could have accomplished the mission of revealing Hashem's presence to the world. Any representative from any of the other nations, any of the other living beings, could have been the Avraham Avinu, could have been the nation of Hashem. At that point, the Midrashim are arguing as to whether there was sadness in front of Hashem, because all the creatures of the world, all of mankind, were supposed to be accomplishing this mission, or whether it's gladness in front of Hashem because Hashem saw Avraham Avinu is going to come from Noah. His nation will still come about. And the others, they could fall by the wayside if they chose not to follow the will of Hashem. They used their free choice to sin. Then they could be punished, and there will be Hashem's name will be glorified when they are punished by the amazing miracle of the Mabel of the great flood. That is the argument in the Medrash as to whether there was joy in front of Hashem when the nations of the world, the members, whoever was alive at the time of the great flood, was destroyed. But afterwards, when the nation of the Jewish nation was being punished, then certainly it's not a time of joy in front of Hashem. This might be alluded to, we might find an allusion to this also in the Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara tells us on Tezayin, page 16 of Megillah, it says that when Mordechai HaTzadik was being led around the city in a white horse, on the king's horse, it says that in order to climb up on the horse, he told Haman, "I can't climb up, it's too high. Why don't you bend down and I'll walk on your back and climb up?" As he climbs up, he gave a kick to Haman. And Haman said, "What do you mean? It says in the verse, 'Din nefola yivcha al tismach.' You shouldn't rejoice when your enemy falls. Why are you so happy that now I'm falling and that I'm losing favor in the king's eyes? Why do you kick me because of that?" Said Mordechai, "Amarle hani mili v'yisrael, avo b'ditchutze v'atal b'amusem v'sidrov." When you are falling, then it is a time for us to rejoice. It is time for us to say that we will dance on at your downfall because you tried to destroy the Jews and you did not succeed. Hashem brought about a miracle to spare the Jews, the miracle of Purim. That is a time for us to rejoice. It's only by other Jews, when the Jewish nation is not following the ways of Hashem, when people who are when people who are not trying to destroy the Jews, but the Jewish nation themselves are not following the way of Hashem, then it's possible to say, "Min foli yivcha al tismach." But when someone tries to destroy the Jewish nation and they themselves are destroyed in return, then it is the time to make a celebration of Purim. I want to wish everybody a Purim Sameach. In another 2 weeks we're going to have Purim. And hopefully we'll see you again next week by the lecture which Mayor Kaplan will be giving on next Sunday at the same time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6 in the evening, Israel time. Be well.